العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Let's make some good intentions. The Prophet عليه السلام said, نية المؤمن خير من عمله. A believer's intention is better than his action. We know from various narrations that on the Day of Judgment, people will be rewarded for actions that they do not even do in the world. Those deeds will be written in their book of deeds. And they will ask, where did these deeds come from? We never did them. And they will be told that you did not do them practically, but you made the intention to do them. And because of those intentions, you're going to be rewarded on the Day of Judgment now. So today in the dunya, make as many good intentions as possible. If you don't have wealth, but you want to build a masjid, make the intention. Who knows, Allah will enrich you one day and you're able to do it. And if you're not able to do it throughout your lifetime, then at least you will get the reward for having that good intention of building a masjid for the sake of Allah, helping the poor for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, etc. So right now, we're here to listen to a bayan. What intentions can we make? Well, the foremost intention should be, Ya Allah, I'm here to earn your pleasure, to please you. Because if Allah is pleased with you, you don't need anything else. Make the intention that as long as you're here, you're going to listen attentively. Because it's very easy to pull out your phone, look at a message. As soon as there's a notification, the phone buzzes, we take our phone out. But remember, sacred knowledge is something that we must be very respectful towards, inshallah. I make intention that whatever you hear, you will try your utmost to remember it and to act upon it as well, inshallah. Like this, whenever you have an opportunity to do any good deed, make intentions beforehand, good intentions. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to do so. Views of Madani Channel, nowadays we hear people often say a jumla, a particular statement. We may have said it in our lives as well. And that statement is regarding the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the state that it's currently in. Whenever we meet up with friends, if we're blessed to have religious minded friends or religious discussions, we have those kind of discussions. Very often, you'll hear someone say that right now the ummah is in a dire state. This ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going through a lot of trial, a lot of tribulation. A lot of problems are being faced by the ummah. The ummah is on a decline. We hear this. We might have said it ourselves as well. But the question is, have we done anything to play our part in rectifying the state of the ummah? This is the question. We can all say it. The nearly 2 billion Muslims across the globe can get together and say this jumla, nothing will happen. It's stating the obvious. We know the state of the ummah. But what can we do to better that state? What role can I play? What role can you play? First of all, to play any such role, you need to understand why this ummah is in decline, unfortunately. Why we're suffering so much. When we study Islamic history and we realize how much honor, glory, respect Allah Ta'ala blessed this ummah with, we yearn to have that same glory, that same honor, that same respect. We want to regain that lost honor. But we need to know the asbab, the causes for the downfall of a nation. Now, where can we learn about this? Where can we learn about the reasons why nations decline? Throughout history, you will study about nations who reached their pinnacle and then it was downhill from there. Nobody's success was perpetual or continuous. There came a time where They met their downfall. There was a decline. Now, for Muslims, the foremost source, the best source that we refer to is Al-Quranul Kareem. The speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the divine speech of the Creator Azza wa Jal. It goes without saying, Allah ta'ala knows more about this ummah and how to better it than any of us. All the intelligent people in the world can come together, form a think tank, start deliberating, start thinking, what can we do? But they will never ever be able to match the wisdom of the Creator Jalla Jalaluhu and His knowledge. Allah Azza wa Jal knows about us more than ourselves. He knows what is better for us. He knows what is worse for us, what leads to our decline. And in the Quran, if you study the Quran, you will find many, many waqi'at, many, many parables, stories and accounts. What are those accounts related to? They are related to the previous umam, the previous nations, and how those nations met their decline, their downfall. I will mention a few examples, inshallah. The nation of Ad, the nation of Ad. Allah Ta'ala sent Prophet Hud alayhi salam to the nation of Ad. Now this nation was blessed with great power, great strength, great wealth. But there came a time when they became so intoxicated by that power and that wealth that they became rebellious, disobedient to Allah Azza wa Jal. And when that happened, Allah Ta'ala punished them with a hurricane. They were destroyed. Then you have the nation of Sayyiduna Salih alayhi salam. The Quran, it says, وَإِلَىٰ ثَمُودَ أَخَاهُمْ صَالِحًا. And towards the nation of Thamud, we sent their brother Salih alayhi salam. Now this nation of Thamud, if you check online, if you were to study, you can still see pictures of their craftsmanship today. They were so skilled in architecture, in construction, in building. Today we become amazed when we see a certain building. But going back thousands of years, this nation of Thamud was able to carve mansions into mountains. They lived in mountains and they were skilled in architecture. But again, what happened to this nation, who was blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much? They reached a stage where they became arrogant. They forgot about the Creator. And they began to think, this is our doing. Me, me, me. I was responsible for this. I am behind this. And Allah ta'ala does not like that. La yuhibbul mustakbirin. Allah does not like the arrogant ones. So when this nation became arrogant, the nation of Thamud, what happened? Allah Ta'ala destroyed them too, with earthquakes. So you read about these nations and you should think, why did Allah mention these nations in the Quran? Was it just for the sake of it? Ma'adallah? No. Everything that Allah mentions, everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in the Quran, there is a maqsad, there is a purpose behind that for us. Meaning when we read it, we should try and take out the lessons. Admonition, ibrat. How can we learn from the previous nations? And then we have the nation of Sabah, who were situated in Yemen. And this nation again was blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with countless bounties and ease. The weather was very moderate, not too warm, not too cold. They had orchards, they had gardens of fruits, they had every blessing that you could possibly think of. It's related regarding them that when you would walk into a garden of theirs, an orchard of theirs, and if you had a basket on your head, the fruit bearing trees would give fruit automatically in a state that you would leave that orchard with your basket full. Manually, you would not even have to pick fruit. This was the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon that nation, the nation of Sabah. But what happened? Just like the other nations, just like the nation of Thamud, just like the nation of Ad, they forgot about the Creator. They began to disobey Allah with His blessings. Imagine in the dunya, somebody gives you wealth, somebody gives you honor, somebody gives you status, respects you, and then you turn around and you're disrespectful to that very same person, how would he feel? Obviously, he would feel disheartened that this person, I gave him wealth, I gave him status, rank, respect, honor, and this is how he repaid me. Bila tashbih, without comparison whatsoever, because you can never compare the creation to the creator. But that was just used as an example. Allah Ta'ala blesses us day and night. Our breathing, every breath we take is a great blessing of Allah. We have clean water, we have clothes, we have shelter, we have wealth, we have health, we have family, and the list goes on. Now if we use those very same blessings of Allah to disobey Him, Azza wa Jal, then of course He will not be pleased. In fact, He will be displeased, and it is the principle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the divine way, that when nations start to transgress and do wrong, Allah Ta'ala punishes them. That's His way. And you've just heard about the nation of Sabah, the nation of Thamud, the nation of Ad. This is what happened to them. Eventually they were destroyed. The nation of Sabah became disobedient. Allah Ta'ala sent one prophet, another prophet, another prophet, another prophet. And this nation of Sabah rejected all of those prophets. So Allah Ta'ala destroyed them too. And they're mentioned in the Quran. We should study the Quran, read about the previous nations. Now this ummah, our ummah, Al-Ummatul Muhammadiyya ala sahibiha salatu wassalam. This ummah is the greatest ummah from all the nations, from all the ummah. The Quran tells us this. You just have to open Surah Al-Imran. You just have to study the Quran, read the Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You are the best nation that has been sent forth for mankind. Who does this ummah refer to in this verse? The ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We are the best ummah. But then Allah Azza wa Jal mentions why we're the best ummah. And if we ponder upon the reasons why we're the best ummah, which are mentioned in this very verse, we will realize why we're suffering at the moment. Why this ummah is in a constant state of decline. Immoral degeneracy. Why this ummah is suffering right now. You will realize. Allah Ta'ala says you are the best nation, but what reasons does the Creator give? Let's elaborate upon those reasons and let's think, are we fulfilling those reasons why this ummah was the best? Allah Ta'ala says, تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, that you invite towards good and you forbid evil. This is the reason, one of the reasons why this ummah is the best. When we see wrong, we try to advise our fellow Muslims. Now when this stops happening, and everybody is minding their own business, as they say, I don't need to tell anybody about anything, that's when the ummah starts to decline. That's when discord spreads. That's when we have masail, a lot of issues in our communities. When everybody just turns a blind eye, nobody's willing to act upon this way of inviting towards good and forbidding evil, which the Quran mentions as the reason why we're the best ummah. The reason for why we're the best ummah. Now if you look at the examples of the past Muslims, you will see that subhanallah, in their character, the akhlaq, the way they spoke, the way they restrained their anger, the way they treated others, the way they fulfill the rights of others, they showed practically that they are part of the best ummah. And when people looked at them, people became inclined towards Islam. People wanted to learn about Islam, to study Islam, embrace Islam and accept Islam. Why? They would just look at a Muslim and they would think, subhanallah, this is unique. This person's approach, the way he speaks, the way he deals with others, his mu'amalat, based on honesty, trustworthiness, he's not deceptive, he doesn't lie. When they would see such Muslims, subhanallah, their hearts would become filled with love for Islam. Now today we're quick to say the ummah is on a decline, the ummah is suffering, but what about our kirdar, what about our character and mannerism? Can somebody look at us and become interested in Islam? If that is the case, alhamdulillah. But we know the sketch, we know the situation today. Majority of people, in the way they deal with others, in the way they speak with others, in the way they interact with others, their dealings with others, then people, rather than becoming interested in Islam, would become distant from the religion of Islam. This is a reality, we can't hide it. Let me give an example of one of the pious Muslims of the past, Sayyiduna Malik bin Dinar, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. It's related regarding him that he rented a house and his neighbor was a non-Muslim. And his non-Muslim neighbor hated him with a passion. So much so that he would make impurity from his own house reach the house of Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi alayh via the gutter, the pipe. And this impurity would fall into the house of Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi alayh. And he wouldn't react the way we would react. We would go, we would confront that person, and in most cases, we know a fight would ensue. And the situation would escalate, get out of hand. We know this is what would happen. Because today, we don't have that ability to restrain our anger. Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar, rahmatullahi alayhi, on the other hand, was a saint of Allah, who studied Quran and Hadith, and he implemented the teachings of Quran and Sunnah in his life. So how did he react, do you think? This person is sending impurities to his house. Malik bin Dinar, rahmatullahi alayhi, would just clean up the impurity and keep silent. One day that non-Muslim neighbor said to him, that I've been doing this for so long, and how come you haven't reacted? How come you haven't confronted me? Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi alayhi said, I would just clean up the impurity and just forget about it. Said, didn't this anger you what I was doing? Said, it did anger me, I'll be honest, it did anger me, but I remember the verse of the Quran. So this is the way of our pious predecessors. In any situation, before they would react, they would refer to the Quran and how to react. What is the course of action? We go to the Quran. So this is what the saints of Islam would do. The pious people, the sulaha. Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi said, yes, of course I become angry. And remember, becoming angry is not haram in and of itself. We can become angry. It's how we react after we become angry that we'll be judged upon. Did we restrain our anger? Did we control our anger? Or did we react upon that anger and commit sin? So this is something to know. Many people say it's haram to become angry. Becoming angry in and of itself is not haram. In fact, in some situations, it's necessary for you to show anger. For example, haram is taking place before you. Are you supposed to smile? Of course not. Islam commands us there to express anger. Obviously, the way you express the anger again will be looked at. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the Sahaba mentioned, and this is found in his blessed seerah, that when something disliked would take place before him, then his blessed face, the complexion would change. And the hadith mentioned a vein in the blessed forehead, how it would protrude. And people could sense straight away by looking at the Prophet alayhi salam that he is displeased with this particular situation. So you could show anger like that, by your expression, by your face. Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi alayhi said, yes, I do get angry, but I remember the verse of the Quran. The Quran tells me, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And those who swallow their anger, and those who forgive people, and Allah loves those who do good. He remembered this verse of the Quran right on point, right on time. But the thing is, if we're in that situation, if we don't have knowledge of Quran and Sunnah, we don't have knowledge of the teachings of the Quran, how can we implement this in our life? So if me and you were in that situation, we're ignorant of the teachings of Islam, how are we going to implement this particular teaching in our life? So what does that tell us? We must have knowledge. We always say, from this platform, whenever we speak, that knowledge is necessary. Without knowledge, you have nothing to refer back to. Knowledge of Islam, we're talking about. Knowledge of Quran, Hadith, Sunnah. So Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi alayhi said, yes, I get angry, you throw impurities into my house, I just clean it up and I forget about it, I restrain my anger. Why? Because of this verse of the Quran. Allah loves those who swallow their anger, restrain their anger. Allah Ta'ala loves those who forgive others. Now this non-Muslim, he was so impressed with Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi alayhi. And he was thinking to himself that I've tried to infuriate this person for so long, try to get under his skin, try to provoke a reaction, but he never reacted negatively. He kept patient, and now he's told me the reason why he kept patient. And then he thought to himself, if this is the religion of Islam and its beautiful teachings, then why am I waiting for? Why am I being deprived for? And there and then he recited Kalima Shahada and he embraced Islam. He became a Muslim. Iman entered his heart. How? What was the wasila? What was the sabab? Allah Ta'ala made the sabab, the akhlaq of Sayyiduna Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. So today we must ponder as well, how many people become interested in Islam, inclined towards Islam because of me, because of you? How many people? This is something that we have to ponder over. And if our akhlaq, if our mannerism, if our way of dealing with people, interacting with people, is such that it distances people, then we must change. We have to change. There's no other way. So how long are we going to be harsh to someone when it's not even required? Bad-mouthing someone, swearing at someone. This has become the norm now. Some people can't even say a sentence without using profane language. This is the situation of the Ummah today. And then we say, how come we're on a decline? How come we're going downhill? So going back to the verse of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions why we're the best Ummah. And He says, you invite towards good, you forbid evil. This is something that we must do now. Everyone's a preacher in our own homes, spouse, children. We are going to teach them. We are going to learn about Islam and then convey those teachings towards them. Nobody from outside is going to come. And as believers, we need to have full reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason why this ummah is in decline today, the ulama of Islam have said, one of the reasons is because of a lack of reliance. Meaning Allah ta'ala is Khaliq. Allah ta'ala is Razzaq. He has said in the Quran, He will provide rizq, sustenance. Allah ta'ala is the protector. And when a person has weak faith in this regard, and then he resorts to haram to try and earn a living, not relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, haram becomes prevalent in society, then of course the ummah will not ascend, it will descend. It will begin to decline when sins become prevalent in society. So as believers, we are told we are the best ummah because we believe in Allah, and belief requires you to have kamil tawakkul in Allah Azza wa Jal, full reliance. And in one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam spoke about a creature, birds in particular. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the Day of Judgment, many nations will enter Jannah whose hearts are like the hearts of birds. These birds that we see that fly, the Prophet ﷺ gave that similitude, that resemblance. And he said, those people who will enter Jannah from those nations, their hearts will be like hearts of birds. What does this mean? The muhaddithun, the hadith experts, the scholars of hadith who commentate on these ahadith, they explain, they say that birds have two sifat, two attributes that are worthy of being emulated. Number one, birds have full reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in regards to their rizq. They know that Allah ta'ala will provide for them. They know this. It's inherent within them. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying, number one, be like birds in that you have full tawakkul upon Allah azza wa jal. You rely upon Allah ta'ala. And secondly, the sifa with which birds have is that they do not have enmity towards one another, towards other creatures. They're free from malice. And again today we ask, why is the ummah in decline? Why is the ummah suffering? There was Uruj, and now there is Zawal. It was a time where Islam and its rulers attained glory, honor, respect. And now, fast forward, it's the opposite. Zawal is a downfall. One of those reasons, again, is because of the diseased hearts. When we talk about a diseased heart, we don't mean physical disease of the heart, which results in heart attacks, angina, and all these other illnesses. We're talking about the spiritual heart. We're talking about the heart which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam referred to in his hadith, and he said that there is a morsel of flesh in the body. If it is sound, then the rest of the body will be sound as well. And if it is corrupt, the rest of the body will be corrupt as well. Meaning a person will commit sins. And he said, Ala wa hiya al-qalb. Take heed, it is the heart. The scholars say that just like you take care of your physical appearance, your outer, your zahir, you must also take care of your batin as well. You must have husnul dhan billah. You must have a positive assumption regarding your creator, Allah Azza wa Jal. And here we heard that birds, they don't have malice. And malice cannot exist in the heart of a believer if he wants to succeed. Bughd, kina, is referred to in Urdu. You cannot have this in your heart and at the same time imagine that you will prosper. It doesn't work like that. You have to have a pure heart. And only when you have a pure heart, you strive and you refrain from these illnesses of the heart, will you attain success and prosperity. Only then will you flourish. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that make yourselves like the birds. Meaning just like birds have kamil tawakkul in Allah, have full reliance in Allah. And just like birds do not have malice, remove malice from your heart as well. Love everyone, forgive everyone. Be gentle-heartedness, purify your heart. Inshallah succeed, and once again we will regain that glory. I'd like to finish off. Allah Ta'ala mentions that He does not change a ni'mah that He grants a nation until they change themselves. What does that mean? Allah Ta'ala has granted many nations before us countless blessings, and He's also granted this ummah many blessings. But when we become disobedient, rebellious, we start committing wrongdoing, then those blessings are taken away. Because we've changed our state, we become rebellious, we become disobedient, Allah Ta'ala removes those blessings. And then we all say, what's happening to the ummah? Why is it in decline? What's going on? So inshallah, let's make an intention that we will begin from home. We are all preachers, as I said, we need to learn about Islam ourselves. We need to rectify ourselves, our family members. And inshallah, when individuals become rectified, slowly but surely the whole community and societies will become rectified as well. Why? Because individuals make up societies, make up communities. It's not something that will happen overnight. Every single person, this is an individual obligation that they must change themselves for the better. And inshallah, when we do so, we all have the same mindset. We're all working towards the same goal. You will see, inshallah, by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that once again, we will gain that glory, that honor, that respect that Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi had, that Sultan Nuruddin Zangi rahmatullahi alayhi had, all these great leaders of the past. Look how much land Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu ruled over. This was because they abided by Quran and Sunnah. Today, inshallah, this is the need of the time. It's easy to make claims. It's easy to say we're suffering. But how do we remedy that situation? How do we better ourselves? By going back and turning back to Quran and Hadith, Quran and Sunnah, learning about Islam, implementing it in your lives. And inshallah, we will see firsthand with our own eyes the betterment that occurs because of rectifying ourselves. May Allah Ta'ala accept what has been said and enable us all to act upon it. Ameen. Bijahi khatamin nabiyyin. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.